Our sermon this morning is, we're going to start at Luke 15. At Luke 15, this idea of our shepherd. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, be with us this morning, that your words may be more than these words here. May we focus on what you have written for us, that, Lord God, they still lead our lives and point the way. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning from Luke chapter 15, we have to start out defining where things are and go from there. So if you would, read this with me from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So there's two groups of people, mainly two groups of people included in this scripture verse. Of course, we have the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the people of Israel who thought they could get closer to God by being righteous, aka they thought they could earn their way to heaven, that they could follow the Ten Commandments as closely as possible. And then by not breaking the Ten Commandments, they thought that they would be able to earn their what they're going to get in heaven, or earn their favor from God. And then we have the other side. And I believe it's best it looked like this, is you have a herd of white sheep out there, and then, of course, you have that one black sheep. And the black sheep sticks out if it's the only one. And so what we have here is we have the tax collectors and sinners. And I believe that the thing that connects both of these two groups of people in here is they both sell themselves for money. The tax collectors were normally Jewish people who sided with the Romans, and they would heavily tax their own relatives in order to get richer and rich and richer. And of course, the sinners typically being the people who would sell their bodies in order to get money for that. And so these were openly sinful people, according to the Pharisees. And they said, "We're too good to even go near these people." And he saw Jesus drawing closer to them. He said, "How can you be righteous if you hang out with these type of people?" And so Jesus goes on, and he wants to explain a little bit more to them. Because the tax collectors and sinners, they understood what their lives were like. They understood what was inside of them. And over here we have the Pharisees who they didn't believe they really needed a Savior. They could earn their way to heaven. So therefore, you have people who stood outside the gate and didn't think they needed Christ, and you have the people who were running to Christ. We have the people who they knew what their life was really like. And this is the one man of anybody else who has come to save me, and I need him more than anything else. And so we have two groups of people that are talked about. And interesting enough is, I believe that Jesus talks a little bit about the two groups of people in here. If you would, read verse 7 with me. "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And so I want to paint this picture for you here this morning, is that when Jesus said he is the shepherd, he comes to seek and to save the lost. And in this Bible verse, we're seeing that the Pharisees were standing outside judging the people on the inside, saying, "These people are awfully sinful. Jesus, you can't be around sinners." And Jesus turning around says, "Only sinners need a Savior." In other parts of Scripture, he says that a physician comes to heal those who are sick. So what are you guys doing here? Why do you guys mind? You guys don't come to a physician. You guys think you can heal yourself. And so, interesting enough, is I want to point, if you would, on the back of your worship bulletin, if you would get that out for me just one second, from Ezekiel chapter 34. This is Old Testament stuff. Old Testament. And you want to talk about a low point in your life? Ezekiel was written at a time in which the nation of Israel was in great turmoil. They could not see past their own lives. They could not see that the Messiah would come from them. They were away from their homes. And so, interesting enough, in the darkest of their days, I would like you to look at Ezekiel chapter 34 and look at this. This is what Jesus says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out." If you could, take a couple of seconds. I'll give you 10 seconds. I want you to identify how many times in this Old Testament reading, how many times Jesus says that he will do something in this Old Testament. Look down and look through that just for one second. We see in Ezekiel chapter 34, because I took a highlighter. My Old Testament looks like a Christmas tree. Every time that Jesus says what he will do for his sheep. And if you notice, there's a very specific language when he says, "I myself will do something. I myself will search for my sheep. I myself will seek out his flock. I myself will rescue them. I will bring them out." Meaning, Old Testament shepherds, they would lead their flock. The flock would follow. The ones who wouldn't follow are the stubborn Germans, right? The ones who wouldn't follow said, I know something better. And they are the ones who would go off and get picked off by the wolves. They are the ones who would try to corrupt the other flock in order to go with them and lead their own flock. And that does happen a lot. In America, we use dogs in order to corral everybody else. Over in Israel, they still do this type of shepherding. Shepherd just calls out. And quite literally, the sheep hear his voice and only know his voice and only will follow that shepherd. So the shepherd calls out for the sheep and the sheep follow him. And so here today, we see that it is the Lord who will feed them. Look how many other times. This is Old Testament. Old Testament. All right? We're talking hundreds of years before Christ was to be born in Israel. And I want to relay one thing here this morning, this image here, because this is what a shepherd does. You see, this sheep, what you don't see is a lot of things. I mean, you understand that the sheep is not white. It's dirty. What you don't see in this picture is this sheep stinks. No, I mean, seriously, literally, this sheep right here stinks, right? The ears have this fungus in them and this wax that is just absolutely terrible. I mean, go to the petting zoo next time and just hold one down and smell its ears. No, really don't. You see the wool? The wool on there, do you think that it has a large capacity washer in order that you put it through the spin cycle every now and then? No. This guy has been in the fields, and he has collected all types of parasites. It's collected all types of really interesting odors. And so, interesting enough is sometimes this guy eats so much and has so many problems that sheep will actually fall over, and they'll fall over, and there'll be hooves up, and that kind of condition will actually lead to killing them. And unless the shepherd is around to bring them up and to put them back on their feet, they will die. So interesting enough is this shepherd takes this stinky, smelly, this often can't care for myself sheep, and in this view, I want you to see that he puts them on his shoulders, his own shoulders, knowing full well that when the shepherd takes the sheep, puts them with the other sheep, is that he will also stink just like that sheep. He will smell just like them. And so, having that imagery, I want in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16, if you would read this with me, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Here we see two groups of sheep. The sheep that know they've gone astray and the sheep that don't think they need a shepherd. And so this morning, I believe the same is true here today. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah says that we have all gone astray. And the question is, do we still need a Savior? Because just like in the New Testament, you ever wonder about this? That if Jesus has 100 sheep and one of them goes off to stray, don't you think some of the other sheep look at that one that's gone astray and say, well, good riddance? You guys never think about that. You ever think that what do sheep do when one has been lost and say, hey, Jesus, where are you going? Because when he goes out to seek and to save the lost, he says he leaves the 99. You ever get this impression that the 99 are saying, Jesus, we're here. There's 99 of us and there's only one of him. Kid, let him go. You got 99 right here. Numerically, 99 is better than one. Can you imagine the sheep? I mean, do you speak sheep? And when they're saying, Jesus, stay here. Only feed us. Or do you see the mind of Christ when he comes to Israel and Israel says, we could care less about you. And so God says, my ministry is for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. And so Jesus sends out to the far reaches of the world those who would hear the voice of Christ saying, repent and turn, and I will carry you to my Father. And so we hear a shepherd calling out to his sheep, we have all gone astray. We have all gone astray. And this shepherd says, you need a Savior, and I'm the only one. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this morning, Lord, your word speaks to us from thousands and thousands of years ago that, Lord God, we still need you. Lord God, it is so easy to be like the 99 and look at the one and say, Lord God, just let him go. But here we see the mind of your soul, that you would care so much for that one, that, Lord God, you were patient with them, that you would go after them. Your Old Testament declares to us today that there's no height nor low place that you wouldn't go to seek out that sheep that needs to hear your voice and come back. Lord God, may we be part of the group that, Lord, wants to see that one come back. Let us be, as a family, a group of believers, Lord, in this place, a group of believers who understand what it means that your holy hosts, that they celebrate each time one person understands the beautiful nature of why you came to die for them. May we also celebrate, Lord, when we see one come to know your name as their Savior and not be part of the 99, Lord, who wants you to only focus on them. Lord God, continue to do what your word says. Continue to go out to seek to save the lost. Because at one point in time, Lord, each one of the people inside this building were a part of the one that was lost. So we thank you, Lord, that you came to rescue us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.